There's a Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Hilchas Chanukah, which is the subject of a lot of discussion, a lot of raid. Akiva Eiger was dealing with a simple question. Somebody, and it was a real live question, somebody sent him this shayla. He was lighting Neres Chanukah, and it was, let's say, I think the example he gives over there was the fifth night. He was lighting, and he forgot to make a bracha. He began to light, having forgotten to make the bracha. And then in the middle, somebody reminded him, hey, you didn't make a bracha yet. He's up to, let's say, the fifth candle. It's the fifth night, he's up to the fifth candle. Could he make the bracha now, or is it too late? We know brachas are usually supposed to be said, and if you already ate the matzah, and then you realize you didn't make the alachilas matzah, it's too late. You can't make the bracha anymore. The bracha has to be over lasi asan.
What did he do? He just lit candles.
He lit candles.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So why can't he blow them out and start over?
You're not allowed to blow them out.
But even if he would blow them out,
Kav Sein Zakukla.
He didn't make a bracha. What did he do?
That's a Maisa Mitzvah. He was Yaisei Dechavasa.
Yeah?
Totally.
Was even without a bracha?
Yeah. The bracha is never ma'akeh. By all mitzvahs, the bracha is never ma'akeh of being Yaisei Dechavasa.
Maybe only on Machshav is to light candles, not to light them in heaven.
If his kavod was not for Ner Chanukah, then you're right. Then we could say he didn't do the Maisa Mitzvah yet. Let him start over. Yeah. But he meant to be lighting Ner Chanukah. It's on his Chanukah menorah.
Yeah.
It's the same kli that he uses every night to light Ner Chanukah. He just forgot the bracha. Now he remembers, but there's only one left. So can he make the bracha now? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger divides the shayla into two halves because there are two brachas. So there's one shayla about lahalik Ner Chanukah. That's a harder shayla. Let's put that on hold. The second bracha, Sha'asa Nisim, that's an easier shayla. The Sha'asa Nisim, he says, that's for sure you could still say. Why is he so sure that you could say that? The truth is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says that all of the brachas, meaning the two brachas that we'll say tonight or the three brachas that you say on the first night, are all supposed to be said Arba Lasi Yasan. They're all supposed to be said before you do the mitzvah. And here he already missed the Ovel HaSiyasan, he already started the mitzvah. But he says, but it can't be that the Ovel HaSiyasan on the Sha'asan Nisim is Ma'akev. Because we find in the Gemara that there's something called a Birkas HaRoya. If somebody is Roya Ner Chanukah, the Gemara says he's Mevarech a Sha'asan Nisim. The Rishonim explained, it's talking about somebody who's not lighting Ner Chanukah. He is away from home. And he doesn't have where to light Ner Chanukah, so he's not doing the mitzvah tonight. But he sees somebody else's Ner Chanukah, he makes a bracha on that Ner. He makes a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim on that Ner. Now, that bracha inevitably is made after it was lit. It's lit, right. He sees it, and then he makes the bracha on it. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that this is Pashut, although the Ramah writes that the Sha'asa Nisim should be made over the Siyasan, it can't be that's Ma'akev. You could definitely make that bracha even afterwards. So he says, you're fine. You could still make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. Now it happens to me, I heard over Shabbos that there are some that say over B'Shem Reb Chaim that he actually held B'dafka, that L'chatchila, you should make the Sha'asa Nisim after you lit the first Ner. He would make the Lahalik Ner Shachanaka, light the first Ner, and then make the Sha'asa Nisim and light the remaining Neres. Now, this report comes from the American branch of the Brisker Mishpacha. The Eretz Yisrael Dikur Briskers, they have no such Messiah from Reb Chaim, but in YU, they say this over, that Rabbi Sheber said over B'Shem Reb Chaim, and the Rabbi Yishmael was noyig that way. And the basis was that in the Maseches Seifrim, which is the Maseches Seifrim is one of the Maseches Ketanis. It's not really part of Shas, but it's printed in the back of the Shas, and it's presumably a collection of teachings from the time of the Gaonim. And over there, it seems that the Sha'asa Nisim is primarily a Birkas Haraya, meaning you're not supposed to say it until you see it. So you always say it after you see it. Mm-hmm. So that's what they say over in
that's
what
Reb Chaim did
it. So Rabbi Yoshe Ber, so everyone says that Rabbi Yoshe Ber did it that way, and there's different nuschois, and apparently some say that he said it over B'Shem, his grandfather, Reb Chaim. I actually just had this chus this morning. I spoke to Rabbi Leo Soloveitchik, who is a nephew of Rabbi Yoshe Ber from YU. And he said that his father did not do that. I mean, he's very, very careful. He didn't say that anybody was wrong. But he said that his father, sort of Aaron from Chicago, did not do it that way. He did it the way everyone does it. His grandfather, meaning Rav Aaron's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was also Rav Yoshe Ber's father, he said, I don't know, I never asked, but my father would usually tell me if he was doing something, not that he always did everything exactly the way his father did, but if he was doing it different than his father, he would have told me. So he was indicating that he thinks that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik did it the regular way, which is making the bracha beforehand, which indicates that probably that's how Rav Chaim did it also, and that which Rav Yoshe Ber did it differently was his own chiddush. That was his reading of it, although, you know, he didn't say it quite explicitly. But and again, the Eretz Yisrael Dika branch of the family has no such messiah from Rav Chaim. But Al Kapanim, with that, let's say you can leave Rav Chaim's name out of it. Rav Yoshe Ber from YU, he was Noyeg to say the Sha'as HaNisim, starting from not on the first night, he would make it before, but starting from the second, no, on the first night when we made a Shachianu, he did all the brachas before. But starting from the second night, he would make a Lahadlik, light the first candle, and then make the Sha'as HaNisim, and light the subsequent ones, so that it should be a Birkas Haraya. Now, that ties with what we're talking about. Rabbi Kiva Eger, he's not saying that anyone should do that Lachatchila, but he is saying that at the very least, it's also a Birkas Haraya. So if you didn't say it before, we can't say you missed it. You could still say it now because you see the neighbor, so you can still make the bracha. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that that's the easy part of the Shaila. The bracha of Sha'as HaNisim, you could for sure still say. But what about the bracha of Lahadlik? That part is more challenging. You already began to light, and now, right, so you lit, let's say, four candles, and now you're up to the fifth. It's the fifth night.
You're still madlik.
You're still being madlik. So you're thinking, yeah, let him make a lahadlik. The issue is, though, that which we light five candles, why do we light five candles? Let's go back to basics. The Braisa in Shabbos Tav Chaf Alav says, Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, Ner Yishu Beisai, is one candle for the whole household each night. That's the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. But then the Gemara says, the Braisa says that there's two upgrades. Hamahadrin are madlik ner lachalachat ve'achad, v'hamahadrin min hamahadrin are meisif v'haylech. Right? B'sham et ha'paychas v'haylech, b'sil et meisif v'haylech. So that which we're lighting five candles on the fifth night, that's because of mahadrin min hamahadrin. The ikar ha-mitzvah we were already yotzei with one candle. So yeah, you're still being madlik, you're still doing the mitzvah, but what you're doing, what's still ahead of you is hidr mitzvah. Could you make a bracha on just hidr mitzvah? That's really what this boils down to. Could you make a bracha to do a maisa of a hidr mitzvah?
Man, nobody lights one candle. It's already part of the mitzvah to do everything.
It's hidr.
So not a hidr anymore. This is how we do it.
I hear. It's true that nobody does. No, it's fairly universal that although it is still important to know that if let's say a person only has one nair, so he shouldn't think of it like somebody that only has a half gezias of matzah, which maybe you say, oh, there's no point, or even if there's a point, but certainly you wouldn't make a bracha on your half gezias of matzah. But if somebody has one nair, he absolutely should light it, and he should make a bracha on it. Now, this is not shchiach for us, right? Nowadays, we never have shortages, you know, because everything is cheap and readily, you know, and plentiful. You know, I guess you could have it. You could have it if somebody's traveling. He doesn't have easy access to his supplies. So, you know, then you'd have it. But you're right. Under ordinary circumstances, everybody is moisef harlech. But the fact remains that the Chazal were masaking it as a mahadrin. So maybe you can't make a bracha on this. Rabbi Kivager says, looking around, surveying the earlier sources, he doesn't bring any Rishonim that commented on this. Could you make a bracha on a hiddur? But in the Achrayinim, here in Hilchas Chanukah, he said he found a debate one-on-one. The Pri Chadash talked about a shayla of someone that got mixed up about which night it was. It was the seventh night. He thought it was the sixth. So he lit six candles. Mm-hmm. And then, 10 minutes later, somebody says, hey, it's the seventh night. You have to light another one. So the Pri Chadash says, okay, you should light another one, but you can't make a bracha because it's just a hiddur. You can't make a bracha on a hiddur. That's Pri Chadash's opinion. The El Yerabah says on that same case, his case is slightly different. His case is sort of a cute story, like a Hanukkah miracle happens. It's the seventh night of Hanukkah, but you only had six candles. So you only lit six, or maybe you only lit one, whatever, but you couldn't be meisfarlich because you didn't have enough. And then later, somebody brings you more candles. So now you're able to light the additional neiros. So should you make a bracha on that? And the Eliyarabbah says, yes, you should. And he brings, even though it's just a hiddur, Eliyarabbah says you can make a bracha on a hiddur. And he brings a raya from a Beis Yosef. It's interesting. Both of them bring the same Beis Yosef. But they saw different things in it. The Beis Yosef brings down. Excuse me.
It's another night.
What?
They got more candles. It's another night.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
What are you referring to? I'm sorry.
Lahadlak. We're talking about Lahadlak. The Beis Yosef brings down that if somebody was lighting on the fourth night, but he only lit three candles, but the case was that he just got mixed up, like he lost count. Not that he didn't know which night it was, not that he didn't have enough candles, he just was distracted. So after lighting three, he stopped. And then 10 minutes later, someone says, hey, should we light another one? And the Beis Yosef says, you don't make a bracha, because the bracha that you made before was going on all the neiros that you need to light. So the Bechadish says, oh, you see, that's just like our case. And the Beis Yosef says, you don't make a bracha. So, oh, you see, you don't make a bracha when you're coming to light an additional neir. But the Eliyarabbah says just the opposite. The Beis Yosef says over there, you don't make a bracha because your first bracha was going on it. He doesn't say don't make a bracha because it's just a hiddur. It sounds like really a hiddur could get
a bracha.
Just over there, you already made a bracha on this extra neir. But in cases like the ones we were talking about, that you didn't have these neiros before, or you didn't know that it was the seventh night, so then your original bracha really wasn't going on the additional neir, you would make a bracha. So the Eliyarabbah says, there's no problem making a bracha on a hiddur mitzvah. It seems surprising. I think a lot of Achrayim thinking about it, Misvara, the Machzor Shekel, and others, they say that Eliyarabbah is very surprising. That means further, you would think that Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah, Vitzivanu has to go on a real mitzvah. But Rabbi Kiviger says, look, I see it's a lively debate among the Echayim. The Pri Chadosh Taka holds like that a Vitzivanu has to be going on a real mitzvah, a mitzvah chiyuvis. But the Eliyarabbah says, no, it could be going on a hiddur mitzvah also. So what do we make of that? It's a tie. Rabbi Kiviger says, up to this point, I would say it's a tie. It's a machlekes achreinim, and so what should you do? So at this point, we would say sefek brachas lahakel.
The question was, he didn't make a brachas original.
Right, Rabbi Kiviger's case was different than, each one is a little bit different than the others. Kiviger's case is that he didn't make any bracha, and now he remembers to make
right,
a bracha. But Rabbi Kiviger says, again, at first, we'll still bring in maybe some other considerations, but so far he says it's the same as their shaila, or it's equivalent to their shaila, because all that's left is a hiddur. So could you make a bracha on a hiddur, or can't you make a bracha on a hiddur? And since that we see is machlokes Eliyarabbah and the Pri Chadosh, so we have to consider it a safek. Now, first, an interesting ha'ara. In this opinion of the Eliyarabbah, that you could make a bracha on a hiddur. So I said that strikes a lot of people as surprising. I think the muskel pashut would be that Sheikh Hashanah Musa Yisrael Sivanu should go on a real mitzvah. On a hiddur mitzvah, you can't make a bracha. But, okay, but the Eliyarabbah is of the opinion, and we'll soon see, maybe some other, I hope we'll bring in some other names also. There are some achrayim that are of the opinion that you could make a bracha on the hiddur. Does that mean that they would say, by all mitzvahs, that if you have a situation where you're about to do a mitzvah of hiddur, that you'd make a bracha? It's not so easy to come up with a case of a mitzvah that's just a hiddur. But so over there, it's not so easy. If you did it already, so but pashas you would say the mitzvah. But maybe right, that might be an example. That's a debatable example. Maybe Sukkot time we could talk about that discussion. That's a debatable example of somebody already took an esrig, and then he gets a better esrig. Would he make another bracha on that? A more direct comparison,
he picks it up upright and he didn't make a bracha yet.
Then.
Because we pick it up upside down.
Right.
Make the bracha and then you turn it up right side up.
So, okay, so you mean he just didn't make the bracha at the beginning? Yeah, so
and he picked it up.
That's a good question. That is relevant to this discussion. But sukkah lulav, I mean lulav is a little bit of a different case because the Rishonim say that because there's still the nanuim coming up ahead, so you could still make the bracha even if you already picked it up and you were yetzei the ikra mitzvah. But because the nanuim are still ahead, you could still make the bracha. What about if somebody did? There's an example of Hidur Mitzvah, which the Achrayim, in particular the Bris Kerov, there's a well-known piece from the Bris Kerov and the Beis Halevi before him, that compares the Hidur Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah to the Hidur Mitzvah by Mila. There's a discussion in the Gemara about a Mila that does a Mila, and then he sees that he did it imperfectly. He's supposed to cut off the whole Arla. He cut it off, but there are some strands remaining from the Arla. So the Gemara has a discussion about, you know, if he left over a considerable amount, then it's ma'akev the Mila. But if he left over a very minor amount, then there's a hiddur to go back and take off the those tzitzin. Would you make a bracha on that? Could you make a bracha on that mice of going back? Let's say you were doing it a different day. Let's say the mail came back a day later, and then he says, ooh, I didn't do such a good job. He shouldn't say that in front of the parents. But he says, ooh, I didn't do a good job. I want to do a little more. Would you make a bracha on that? Now, obviously, according to the Prechadish, for sure not. You're just doing a Hidur Mitzvah. According to the Aliyah Rabbah, would this Maisa get an additional bracha? That's what it would seem at first glance. He's saying that you make a bracha on a Hidur Mitzvah. Let me take a different example that's maybe even, where it would seem even stranger. You're wearing tefillin. The tefillin are a little bit, you know, let's say they're looking their age. The Ritzuos are a little bit faded. They need some additional paint. Not in a way that's ma'akev, but some of the paint is cracked and chipped on the edges. While you're wearing the tefillin, you made a bracha, you put on your tefillin. While you're wearing the tefillin, you go and you repaint the Ritzuos. So then now it's more mehudar. And you're continuing to wear it. Will you make an additional bracha? Because now you're doing the mitzvah in a more mehudar way? For sure not. Right? Over there, I think it seems preposterous to think that you'd make an additional bracha on that. So what is it that makes this hiddur one that we're open, more open to the idea that maybe it gets a bracha? So there's a very interesting story of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, and I think, Barry, you were really saying, Be'erich this svara, usually, the idea of Hidur Mitzvah, that Kelim Anvehu, is kind of vague. It's unspecific. It's just the more beautiful, the better. The Chazal told you to do the mitzvah, or the Torah told you to do the mitzvah. And then there's a rule of the Kelim Anvehu that, of course, the more beautiful it is, the better. Over here, there's a separate Takanas Chachamim for the Hidur. There's a mitzvah of Neru Shebeisai, and then Chazal said there's an Indian of lighting Kineged the Yamam HaYaitzim. Now, it's only a Hidur, meaning it's not Ma'akev, it's not mandatory, it's voluntary. But given that it's voluntary, you know, but then notwithstanding that it's voluntary, you could look at it perhaps as a separate Takanas Chachamim. It's a Takanas Chachamim that you don't have to be Mekayim. So call it not a Takanas Chachamim, call it a suggestion of the Chachamim. But it's a separate suggestion. There's a mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, and then there's an Indian, let's say, of lighting Kineged the Yamim HaYaitzim, having as many nears as there are days of the week. Now, it's only Mishum Hidur, but it's not a Hidur like the others, that it's just to beautify the mitzvah that was already done. It's a separate thing that you're doing.
It's a separate act instead of a separate quality of
right, it's, right, it's a separate instruction. And so maybe that's why the Eliyahu Rabbah thought that over here it's mm-hmm. right to get a bracha. Shlomo Zalman says, the reason why I find that this piece very geschmack is he says this could be, you could answer with this, akasha that a number of first of are worried about. If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Hanukkah, Tavri Shayin Aleph, that's where it starts to teach us the halachas of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, there's something very, very surprising. Tavri Shayin Aleph, Sif Aleph, the Mechaber says that when you come to light Ner Chanukah, so on the first night you light one Ner, on the second night you light two Neris, on the third night you light three Neris, till the eighth night you light eight Neris. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, why is that so surprising?
It doesn't say you can be yotze with one.
Oh, exactly. You know, at first glance, it seems very natural because, of course, that's what we all do, right? So it seems everything reads smoothly. But if you know the Gemara, the Gemara says that that's only the Mahadrin, the Mahadrin min Mahadrin. The Iker Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is Ner Shubesai. So why did the Mechaber leave out that the Iker Mitzvah is the Ner Shubesai? So Shlomo Zalman says that maybe it was to be meramiz, this inyan, that you shouldn't think of it as just a hiddur. If it was just a hiddur, it wouldn't be right to make a bracha on it. And the Shulchan Aruch wants to present it as a takanas chachamim. Now it's true, it's not mandatory, it's a voluntary takanas chachamim. But the Shulchan Aruch wanted to present it as a din of lighting connected yam hayetzim, so that we should get the idea that you're able to make a bracha on that din.
How were you mekayim pursuing this on the third night with Ner Beisai?
With one there?
One.
Yes. The pursuing this is
the third night.
Right. So you're not mekayim the connected yam hayetzim.
That's the hiddur.
You don't. No, you're not showing that it's 3 days, but you're showing that Hashem made a nace for the Cheshmanayim. Yeah, you're not giving the details of the nace, but you're showing
so
that Hashem made a nace.
Today, even if you were to light one candle, you're yotze.
Yes.
You are.
Yeah, you are yotze.
You are yotze.
But you're not being mekayim this inyan, which there's already many dayreis that Klai Yisrael, everybody's mekayim this. So you shouldn't, a person shouldn't stop being mekayim it. But yeah, b'shazat chak, you should know that you could be yotzei with less.
Nobody does that. There's nobody in the world, right?
Shamus is
the first night.
Right. I mean, or I would say on the first night, the Mahajman and Mahajran light the same way as the other people, as the people that aren't doing that.
So far, you're saying that you can make the other bracha?
No. What we're holding so far, we were just being mad with the El Yeraba, but it's El Yeraba against the Pri Chadash, and looking at it that way, we would say Safik Brachas Lahakal. So far, we'd be saying Safik Brachas Lahakal. So the Kvegar is going to bring in some other considerations, but before we get to that, there's I saw a very interesting Maramakim. This is in the new editions of the Kvegar. I think it's put out by Hamar, I think. There are notes on the bottom, and he brings over there that he quotes from one of the Achrenim that they were Ma'ir, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger, discussing this topic, and he left out a very, very relevant Maramakim, and that is that here he brought down the Pri Chodesh says you don't make a bracha on a Hiddur, and the Eli Rabbi says you do make a bracha on a Hiddur, and he left out that there's a Mefurish Magen Avram. Now, we've talked about the Magen Avraham a lot in recent weeks. The Magen Avraham is the main commentary on Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. Pri Chodesh and Eli Rabbah are, the Pri Chodesh is in the back of the Shulchan Aruch and Eli Rabbah is in a separate volume, but the Magen Avraham is right there on the inside margin of the page. He's the main, foremost commentator on Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. And the Magen Avraham talks about this Shaila. What? How did everybody miss it? It's not a Magen Avraham in Hilchas Chanukah. But the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Lulav, Simon Tuf Reish Nun Aleph, he's having a discussion over there, a little bit similar, related to what we're discussing. He's talking over there about if somebody made a bracha on his Arba Minim, but he didn't have all four. He made a bracha on Tilas Lulav because he had the Lulav, but he didn't have the Arabis yet. And then later he gets the Arabis. So there's a machalikas Rishonim whether you could be Yetzi Arba Minim like that, but let's say, according to the Mandamar, we pass it like this, that you could be Yetzi. You make a bracha on some, and then later you get the others, and you take that one, and now you say all of them. They're ma'akev one another, but it's only ma'akev that you eventually get to all of them. But they don't all have to be at the same time. So that's the shah. So the Magen Avraham discusses the shah of, do you make a separate bracha? When you get the arava, would you make a bracha of alantilas arava? That's the shah that he's discussing. He brings Maror Mekoymus on both sides of that. Emir Hashem, that'll be a sukkah shir. Right? Maybe one day. But you could see how that sort of moves my inyan l'inyan, and then later on in the piece, this is in Tefreshin and Aleph, Sefkat and Chafhei, he says that there's a Tshuvas HaRambam. He brings this down that the Avudraham quote brings a Tshuvas HaRambam, where the Rambam says that a similar case by Ner Chanukah, that if someone made a bracha on a Ner Chanukah, then he got more neiris to light. which sounds like the Eli Rabba's case, right? He just didn't have enough neiros. It was the sixth night of Hanukkah, but he only had a couple of neiros. So he made a bracha, he lit what he had, and then later, he was there, he got more neiros. And the Rambam says he makes another bracha. Makes another bracha. It's a Tshuvas HaRambam. Yeah, it's not a Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, but a Tshuvas HaRambam, the Shemogan of Rome brings down that you make a bracha on Hidr.
Because you already lit a candle, but you just didn't light six candles for the sixth night.
Then later you get more candles, so you can make it six candles. That's to be Mekayim of the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. And the Tshuvas HaRambam, it says you make a bracha. I'm not sure. That's actually an interesting question. Would he say to also repeat the Shas Nisim? Maybe. I'm not sure. But here's the Mefurish Magen Avram on the side of the El Yerava. So it's a big ha'ara on Rabbi Kivaker that he left it out. But I was doing some research. This Magen Avraham is quoting a Rambam from a tshuva. If you take a look in the Tshuvas HaRambam, there's a collection of Tshuvas HaRambam called Per Hadar. And in the tshuvas, this tshuva appears in that collection. And if you take a look in the Sefer Per Hadar, so it says as follows. It starts off, you know, the shaila is Yireinu Rabbeinu, right? Please tell us somebody that he lit Ner Chanukah v'achachach nizdamnu loy. I don't remember the lashon of the shaila exactly, but you know, should he make another bracha? So far, it sounds like what we saw in the Magen Avraham. It says tshuva. He says it all depends on what your kavanah was when you made the bracha. If your kavanah when you made the bracha was just on this house, and then yizdamulay batim achirim, then you'd make more brachos afilu me'apamim. But if you had in mind even on other batim, then one bracha on all of them.
Different ballgame.
It's a whole different story. The tshuva is talking about batim, not talking about additional neiros, but talking about additional batim, and. So then, what does that mean, additional batim? Either because he has multiple batim, well, then it's hard to, what does it mean, nizdam nulai, if he owns them. Maybe the simplest explanation is that it means that other people ask him to light for him. Maybe he's the rabbi, and it's a town where people are very simple, and everybody asks the rabbi to come light in their house as a shliach. You can make a shliach to light in their Hanukkah. So let's say the Rav lights in his own house, and then his neighbor says, could you light in my house also? So he goes to that house. So on that, Zuck the Rambam, if you had it in mind when you lit, then you don't make another bracha. But if you didn't have it in mind, and now they ask you to light over there, so you make another bracha. Afilu mei upon him. So then it actually is no shaykhis whatsoever to our discussion. It's not about hijra mitzvah, because this is the ikra mitzvah. Your neighbor didn't light in your Hanukkah yet. You go and you light for your neighbor, and you're making the bracha to be mighty the mitzvah. So according to the nusach that we're seeing in the Per Hadar, there's no shaykhis to our discussion.
And that's why Rabbi Kivaker left it out.
Well, okay, and that would justify, I guess, why Rabbi Kivaker left it out. Okay. The thing is, though, that the Per Hadar is notoriously inaccurate. Because the Per Hadar, it's a collection of tshuvas of Rambam. The Rambam wrote almost all of his tshuvas, not all, but most of his tshuvas in Arabic. I mean, the Rambam wrote his tshuvas in whatever language people wrote to him. But from all of the Sephardic lands, certainly Mitzrayim and North Africa and Eretz Yisrael and Spain, and Yemen, right? They were writing in Arabic. He also got shalas from Provencia. In Provencia, they spoke in French, so they wrote to the Rambam in Lashon Kodesh, and the Rambam would write back in Lashon Kodesh. But most of the Tshuvas HaRambam are written in Arabic, so they were translated. Wow. Now, the Per Hadar was printed in the 1700s in Amsterdam, and it says in the front, there was a certain Yid who was in charge of who was doing the translation, and I think what it says, I didn't see this firsthand, I didn't read the Akdama to the Per Hadar, I saw this referred to elsewhere, that he writes himself that he's not really an expert in Arabic, but he was in Amsterdam. There were no Arabic experts in Amsterdam, and he was the best guy available for the job. So he did it.
Did
He did his best. He did his best. But it's not such a good translation. Now, in the 20th century, there was a Yid, Rav Blau, who put out a sort of a scholarly collection of Tshuvos HaRambam, much, much more extensive, because, you know, there's, I don't know if we've ever mentioned, but one of the biggest discoveries in Judaica ever was the Cairo Geniza. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, more than 100 years ago, in the 1890s, I think, there was a discovery of a collection of old Svarim manuscripts, and Svarim, in Cairo, in a shul in Cairo, mm-hmm. and there's so many treasures there. But among other things, the Rambam lived in Cairo, and there are tshuvas in his own handwriting over there. So
the Aliyah, the Adam.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's where it was found.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he put out this multi-volume set with many, many tshuvas, far more than they were in the Paradar. But he also has the ones that had already been printed in the Paradar, but redone with new translations. And he actually, again, it's like I said, it's a scholarly work more than a rabbinic work. It's written with the Arabic and the Hebrew side by side. So if you're interested, you could see it in the original. And that way, everybody, again, most of his readers are not going to know Arabic. But those that do, you can, you know, use your own opinion, your own judgment about it, what you think of the translation. He has the two side by side. Anyway, I looked up this tshuva over there. There's no mention of the word batim. Obviously, I'm not looking in the Arabic, so I don't know Arabic. But in his translation, there's no mention of the word batim. Mm-hmm. Somehow the Peradar, the translator in Amsterdam, misread something. But there's really no mention of the word batim. It says neiris acherim. In his translation, it says nizdamnu loy neiris acherim.
Not batim
acherim. Mm-hmm. Which is the way the Magen Avraham brought it down, which makes it sound again like it's our shaila about somebody that... you know, he lit one candle, and now he's able to light the second or the third or the fourth, and the Rambam will be passing that you make a brach on that.
If you have several homes, you have to light on each home?
Good question. That's a good question. If you're not inhabiting the other homes, but Pashto's not. That's why I said that the Pashas, if the Rambam meant Batim Acherim, which again seems to have been a faulty translation, but if that would be the right version of the Tshuva, I would say it's probably talking about a Shliach. But the truth is that it doesn't end there. Even though this Nusach of the Tshuva would sounds like it's talking about our subject, you're lighting additional Neiris Mishum Hidur Mitzvah. And the only reason why we were thinking otherwise was because of that faulty translation. But once the thought is in our heads, so now looking back again at the tshuva, maybe he really is talking about other houses, even though it doesn't, let's say it doesn't say batim. Let's trust the newer translation. It says neiris acherim, but where are these neiris acherim? Mm. So if it means in his own house, the Rambam said that it says in the tshuva, in all the versions of the tshuva, afilu hein meya. So what's that, the 100th night of Hanukkah? What's the Meah? So what that sounds like is it means Nizdam lo neiris acherim, meaning your neighbor and your next neighbor and the next neighbor and all the people in the town, afilu hein Meah. If he's talking about Batim, again, even though the word Batim isn't there, it says Neiris, but where are these Neiris? If it means the neighbor's Neiris, then we could hear where the Meah comes from. So maybe it does mean other Neiris. Now, other houses, I mean. Now it's not muchach because this afilu hein meya, it could come from somewhere else. Could be an expression, okay? But if it's talking about something with which only goes up to eight, it would be a funny expression. But it could have a meaning in light of a different shitas harambam, a little bit of a well-known shitas harambam, not like the minhag ha'olam. We know that I mentioned before, the Gemara says that the Mahadrin. Well, we've been talking about the Mahadrin, min Mahadrin, that are Moisav Harlech, but the Mahadrin are Madlik Ner Luchalachad Ve'echad. So if there's five people in the household, there are five sets of Neiris. Who lights these five sets of Neiris? So we all, our Minhag, is that each of the people in the household lights their own neiros. The Rambam, famously, the Rambam doesn't write it that way. The way the Rambam says it is that if there's, he gives a mashal actually, if 10 people in the household, if there's 10 people in your household, you light 10 neiros. And it's like the Rambam, and then if it's on the second night, you light 20 neiros, on the third night, you light 30 neiros. The mashmos is that the balabayas lights all of them. The balabayas lights, how many do you light? That's how many he should light. But he does all the lighting.
So
the Rambam doesn't specify yes or no about the wife, but presumably he means the wife also. You know, we're noyeg that you don't like to your wife and your wife doesn't like because the Mishabur brings down because ishte kigufay. But that's not, that doesn't appear in Rishayim. I would assume the Pasha says that according to the Rambam, he lights for all the Bnei Bayis, even your wife, and I would say a bigger Chiddush, even the babies also, the Ketan Shlehigiyu L'chinach. We don't do that, right? We light starting with the Ketan Shlehigiyu L'chinach, right? Let's say there's a, you know, you have a Baal Bayis and his wife, and he has big kids, and there's also, you know, babies. So he and the big kids, the Baal Bayis and the big kids light, but his wife doesn't light, and there's no neiros there for the baby. According to the Rambam, I think he would light everything, but he would light for his wife also, and he would light for the baby also, because for all the Bnei Bayis.
But only one bracha.
Right, with one bracha. Now, the Rambam, the mashal that he gives, it's just a mashal, but the mashal that he gives in his Mishnah Torah, when he's describing this Seder Hadlaka, he says, "Kegoin shehayu Bnei Bayis Asara." Let's imagine somebody that has 10 Bnei Bayis. So on the first night, he'll light 10. On the second night, he'll light 20. On the third night, he'll light 30. Until the eighth night, he'll be lighting 80 neiros.
That's where the
Meir
comes from.
So that could be where the Meir comes from. If, let's say, he doesn't have 10 Bnei Bayis, let's say he has 13 Bnei Bayis.
Right.
So then on the eighth night, he's going to be lighting over 100.
Wow.
So you could say that that's what the Afilu Hein Meir is. But, you know, but he definitely, you know, lends
credence to the bad translator
that maybe he really does mean different houses. And I would add also, because in the tshuva he writes that he already made a bracha, and then it's nizdamnu loy neiros acherim that he to light or to see. I don't have the exact words in front of me, but I mentioned that the Gemara talks about how a madlik makes a bracha and a roya makes a bracha. And the Rambam says, if you already made your bracha, but then your nizdamnu loy, additional opportunities for a bracha, either lahadlik or the birkas haroya. And what does that mean? He's a nizdamnu loy, additional birkas harayas. That can only mean different houses. So there, ataka sounds like it means different houses. So even though it was a mistake in the translation, but it could be that it was megala to us. You know, it got us thinking, and it could be that's really the right shot in the Rambam. The Rambam is not talking about lighting the sixth candle on the sixth night. He's talking about lighting in a sixth house, in a tenth house. In which case, again, that Shuvah's Rambam is not going to have to do with our discussion. Now, what's interesting is that the Magen Avraham, he brings down the Shuvah's Rambam, not with Batim, right, with Neiros. Where did he get it from? I have no idea. Like I said, the Per Hadar was printed in the 1700s. The Magen Avraham, it was before that. The Magen Avraham lived in the 1600s. The Magen Avraham definitely didn't know Arabic. I mean, he lived in Poland in the 1600s. I'm sure he didn't know Arabic. But there were, there were some translations around. Oh, one second. No, he quotes the B'Shem the Avudraham. That's what the Avudraham, who was a Rishon, he was a Svaradish Rishon, so he maybe translated this Rambam, or maybe somebody else had translated, but he transcribes it in Lashon Kodesh. So the Magen Avraham saw it in the Avudraham. That's where he got it from. But Al-Kapadim, he brings it down with the Lashon of Neiros, which sounds like it's talking about Hidur Mitzvah, but not necessarily.
The Avudraham probably understood Arabic.
Yeah, very likely. Yeah.
It's at different houses. It could be the different sides of the house.
The
Gemara talks about where you have two different.
That's true. Although, I think Paiskim said that you don't make a bracha on that. You don't make a separate bracha on that.
If
you're invited to somebody for Shabbos, where do you light? In your house or by the guest?
That's a good question. If you invite somebody for Shabbos, that's the only thing to get a little bit off of our topic, but Papashas, you're going to leave your house way too early to light.
That's
so.
The problem.
But then you can have your kids over and Bezvan Adloker and they're Madlik, and then they're going home to Philadelphia, in my case, and they want to, you know, they live there, so they're going to light again. I mean,
no, if they're coming just for an evening, we're off of Rebbe Kivager's topic, but if they're coming just for an evening, they should not light by you. No, they should light when they go home.
If they would come home, it's going to be too late. It's after, that's a different trailer.
Yeah, okay, so we have to get into the specifics of exactly when they'll be coming
this year
coming
was
home.
Last year with this
guy. Is it? Yeah, was it? Okay. So coming back to Rebbe Kivager's tshuva, all right, so we went a little bit off of his tshuva to talk about this sheet of Eli Rabba, and then this very fascinating discussion about whether there's a tshuva Sarambam on the topic. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But coming back to Rebbe Kivager, he's saying the score is so far 1-1, right? Machlokes HaPoskim, whether or not you make a bracha on Hidur Mitzvah, and if it's just a Machlokes HaPoskim, we're going to have to say something brachas lahakal. But then he says there's another
consideration.
So far. You have to stay till the end. There's another consideration. There's a sugya in Psachim Daf Zayin where the Gemara is talking about the nusach of Birchas HaMitzvahs. If you think about it, all Birchas HaMitzvahs fall into one of two versions. They go, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvahs V'Tzivanu, and then what comes next? Either Al, and then the Mitzvah, like Al Nitzilat Sidayim, right? Or Al Nitzilat Lulav. Or there's a Lamed, right? With the verb. Like Leishev Basukka, Meshmoya Kirl Shaver, and Lahadlik Ner Shulchanaka. How do you decide when it's one way, when it's the other way? It's very complicated. The Rishonim over there, each of the commentaries has a long, long piece trying to figure out the formula for how everything fits in. The Rosh has an Arichos, like many other Rishonim do, and he has a different idea than most Rishonim, and he says that one of the criteria is, does the mitzvah have a duration? There are some mitzvahs that you just do the maisa and then it's done. Al achilas matzah, you eat the matzah and then you're finished with it. Al achilas adayim, you wash your hands, then you're finished with it. Other mitzvahs have a duration. For example, talis, tefillin. The maisa is lehesatef batzitzis, but then you're wearing the tzitzis for a half an hour, for an hour after you make the bracha, you're still wearing the tzitzis, you're still doing the mitzvah. That's a mitzvah with a duration. A mitzvah with a duration, he calls it a shihui. A mitzvah with a shihui gets the bracha with a lamed. He says, that's why we say lehesatif patzitzis, we say lehaniach tefillin, and there's a third example which slips my mind, and then he says, and that's why we say lehadlik ner shulchanaka.
Alamila also.
Excellent question. Alamila, there's a shiur because it lasts forever, and yet we say, but the Gemara over there says that's because it's usually done on a day shliach, and that's also a very important factor, since that's a separate issue. So the Rush says, when he said he introduces this idea about mitzvahs with a duration, I think he mentions l'kabaya mezuzah. That's his third example. L'kabaya mezuzah, you put up a mezuzah, and then you're doing the mitzvah for the next 100 years. Right? It stays up, you're living in the house, and you're getting the mitzvah. So that's a mitzvah with a tremendous shihui.
What? Why is mitzvah lulav al?
So that also is discussed in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, because over there, we can't really make our bracha until after we take it. And therefore, it's not the same kind of avodas yasan as other mitzvahs. So there are a lot of other factors that go into it. It isn't exactly one rule that governs everything. But one of the criteria is a mitzvah that has a shihui. It gets the bracha with a lamed, not with an al. Now we're not interested right now in the nusach of the bracha. Everyone agrees that the bracha over here is lahadlik ner. At least that part everyone agrees to. Lahadlik ner. What comes after that is debatable. But everyone agrees that the bracha is made with a lamed. What's interesting to us is that the Rush calls it a mitzvah with a shihui. And if it's a mitzvah with a shihui, so then Rebbe Kivager says, so then you didn't really miss the Avodas Yasan. If you're going to compare this to Talis and Tefillin, what's the halacha if somebody put on Tefillin without a bracha? So that, right, and then he's up to Ashrei Valetzion, and all of a sudden he remembers, oh, I didn't make a bracha yet, I'm like Tefillin. Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely no shaila that of course he would make a bracha. we wouldn't even have this long tshuva on it. That over there, the answer is easy because the mitzvah has a shiloh. He still has 10 more minutes, and those 10 minutes is as much of a mitzvah as the last 30 minutes. So he's making a bracha. It's Ayur L'Siyasa, and it's Ayur L'Siyasa on the next 10 minutes. Exactly, right. You ate half of your apple, but you're still going to eat another half of the apple. Of course, you make a bar p'eitz on the second half of the apple. So you make a laniach tefillin on the second half, on the Asher Yavol Tzion, that you're going to be wearing your tefillin.
Same thing with the
So the Rosh compares Ner Chanukah to that. Now, Rabbi Kivager says, it's really a very big difference, because by tefillin, mezuzah, tzitzis, what you're still doing is a full-fledged mitzvah. You're wearing your tefillin. Over here, you're not doing anything. It's just remaining lit. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, kav sa'in zakokla, if we go out, you don't even have to relight it. It doesn't have to stay lit. Mm-hmm. So on my own, Rabbi Kivager says, I never would have compared the shihoi mitzvah over here to the shihoi mitzvah by talis and tefillin. But the Rosh makes the comparison. True, he doesn't say it exactly like this halacha, but Rabbi Kivager says, this counts for something. The fact that the Rosh would make this comparison and call this a mitzvah that has a shihui, that's suggestive of the idea that you can make a bracha just on the duration. The fact that the candles are still burning allows me to make a bracha. It's on the one hand, misvara, the Rabbi Kivager says, I find it very unconvincing. So I wouldn't let you make a bracha. I wouldn't pass it to make a bracha just on this basis alone. But on the other hand, the Rosh says that we can't dismiss it as nothing. So it would count as a sniff. A sniff means something you could attach to a tshuva. When you're trying to build a sniff with a samach, samach nun yud fei, that means an attachment to a basis. You're trying to provide a basis to allow me to make a bracha. If I have one argument that has a little bit of strength, and not enough, but a little bit. And I have a second argument that also has a little bit of strength. So when I put the two arguments together, there's really more strength. So between the two of them, we're almost there. Dr. Kivager, I'll add a third sniff also. And that is that the whole premise that we started with, that brachas on mitzvahs have to be made over the siyasan, and if you didn't make it over the siyasan, then you missed it. It has to be over the siyasan, otherwise it's too late. That's the Rambam Shita. And that's how we paskin. That, for example, if you lane the Megillah, you finished, you lane the Megillah, and then you say, oh, I forgot to make a bracha, so you can't go make a bracha now. Yeah, it has to be Avos Yasan. There is, however, a dissenting view. There's an opinion of the Urzarua that you could make the bracha even after you did the mitzvah. Avos Yasan is a preference, but if you didn't make it Avos Yasan, you can make it afterwards. We don't pass like that Urzarua, although he writes, the Shach brings it down, and under some circumstances, he uses it for something. So it has some weight. We don't pass like it. I would never let you make a bracha just on the basis of that or zeruah. But over here, you have already a combination of a few different factors. You have the zeruah that would for sure allow you to make the bracha. According to the zeruah, you never missed a bracha. You have the rush that would allow you to make the bracha because the candles are still burning. The first candles are still burning. The shiur mitzvah. You have the the El Yerabah, who allows you to make a bracha on a hiddur, and you still didn't light your fifth candle, so you still have the hiddur in front of you. Putting all of these things together, Kivager says, you can make the bracha. He paskins on the basis of this tzirif of all of these considerations that you can still make the bracha. But he says, but he emphasizes that it has to be all of them together. So he speaks out two scenarios where you have some but not all. Let's say,
what does he need all of them for?
Because they're all too weak. They're all too weak to rely on. Mm-hmm. The Urzeruah is a shita that we don't paskin like. The Rosh is a svara that was said, a debatable svara that was said in a different context. And El Yerabah is a machalek sapayiskim. He's going against the Prichadash. So any one of the three, Rabbi Kivager said, that's not enough to allow you to make another bracha. And even two out of the three, he still would say, that's not enough. But because he has all three, he says, I'm willing to rely on it. Right, you know, Paisik puts things on scales and measures how much strength it has. It's not enough to have a svara. You have to know how strong the svara is.
Why did he say, I'm saying, what about persuminism?
Different.
That you Makai in the Persuminisa.
For a second?
that's as much as you have to do. It's not your fault that it went out afterwards. But that's not our topic. So Rabbi Kivager says, there are two, let's think through two scenarios. One, let's say you have the same shaila, it's the fifth night, you forgot to make a bracha, you lit already four candles, you're up to the fifth, and then you remember to make the bracha. But, in a surprising twist, the first four candles already went out. It went out. Now, that in and of itself doesn't present any new shilas. The candles go out, they went out. The halach is, like you just said, yes, kavsa ein zakukla. Because you don't have to relight it. But what that does, it takes away the svar of the rush of shihui. You can make a bracha for the shihui mitzvah. There's no shihui mitzvah over here. It's over. All that's left is the fifth one. You didn't light the fifth one yet, right? But the fifth one is just the hidur mitzvah. So you have the El Yerabba. The El Yerabba says you can make a bracha on a hidur mitzvah. But Rabbi Kivager is not willing to rely on just the El Yerabba. He wanted it together with the rush that you still have the shihui of the first four candles. So if the first four candles went out, then you'd have the El Yerabba sniff, but without the rush sniff. So then you can't make the bracha. Conversely, let's say nothing went out, but you already lit all of them. Kivager's shaila was about somebody that was in the middle of lighting, and then he remembered. Let's say he finished lighting, and then he remembers. Now, there's a basis to say you can make a bracha. The svar of shihui mitzvah allows you to make a bracha even on that. But over there, you don't have the El Yerabba to rely on. It's just the rush and the erzeruah, but without the El Yerabba. Over there also, Kivager says no. It's only when you have the combination of all three of them, then you can make the bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah in Tefach Shana Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Rabbi Kivager. It's very interesting. He writes in the Sharet Zion, he says, the Poskim talked about this and gave different opinions, but the Tshuva Rabbi Kivager, Shehem Mikveh Hirchiv Ba'inyan. He went through all the different possibilities, and this is what he came out with, the bottom line. So the Mishnah Berurah says, this is the bottom line, that if you have all of these facts, if we could check off all the boxes, that you still have some neighbors that you didn't light yet, and the ones that you did light are still burning, then you can make the bracha. But if you don't have both of those factors, then you can't. Just one last twist to this. There's some confusion, I mean, for me at least, in Rabbi Kivager. We have, here's the Tshuvas Rabbi Kivager, right, which Mishnah Berurah describes. He really wrote the book on this subject. Hemek Hirchav Be'inyan, and he came out with all of these rules. There's another Rabbi Kivager, though, a one-liner. This tshuva is a nice, it's a whole page. There's a different Rabbi Kivager in the Haggois on the Shulchan Aruch. Haggois Rabbi Kivager on the Shulchan Aruch, in some Tefer Shayin Aleph, he says, V'yesh l'ayin, what's the din if somebody lit his neiris and forgot to make a bracha? And he's going there in the case where you lit all the neiris. He doesn't say you're in the middle. He lit his neiris and forgot to make a bracha. Ayin prima gadim, and he gives an address, Simon Reish Samach Gimel. Now, Reish Samach Gimel is in Hilchos Shabbos. But that's what Rabbi Kivager says. He says, if somebody lit his neighbors and he forgot to make a bracha, Ayin prima gadim, Simon Reish Samach Gimel. If you take a look at Reish Samach Gimel, Reish Samach Gimel is Hilchos Shabbos, Hadlokas Neighbors. It's Neighbors Shabbos. And over there, the prima gadim talks about this very shayla. Could you make a bracha after you already lit the candles? And he brings this idea of shihui mitzvah. He says a mitzvah that has a shihui, like the Rosh says in Pesachim about talis and tefillin, you could still make the bracha. Zuck the Rosh, but don't try that with your Ner Shabbos. With your Ner Shabbos, if you lit candles already and you realize you forgot the bracha, and then you think, then after you remember, he says, you for sure cannot make the bracha. Why? Because since you couldn't light now, even if you wanted to, because it's already Shabbos. You're Makabal Shabbos. So there you don't make a bracha. He says, Masha'in came by Ner Chanukah. By Ner Chanukah, you could make the bracha because of the Shihui Mitzvah. So the Prima Gadim in Hilchos Shabbos, he endorses fully the Svara that Ner Chanukah has a Shihui Mitzvah, and you could take that to the bank. You could make a bracha on the basis of that alone. And Rabbi Kivager says to see that Prima Gadim. So that sounds a little bit like he backed away from what he said in the Tshuva, that you need all these sniffim together. It sounds like he's willing to rely on just the Svara of the Shihui Mitzvah.
How long is the Shihui Mitzvah? How long is it supposed to be lit for it to be Yotzeh?
For about half an hour.
Has to be half hour?
About half an hour.
So Zakkah, Kavs of a Zakkah, we say, after like 5 years.
Yeah, 8 weeks, we pass an 8 Zakkah. 8. Right.
But you need a half hour.
No, that you're supposed to light it to well enough to burn for half an hour, but if it goes out, you don't have to relight it.
Okay.
But now, so this is a little bit of a mystery in and of itself. Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the Tshuva is not willing to rely on the Sarav Shihi Mitzvah, but in the Zagar and the Shulchan Aruch, he sends you, he doesn't say the Halach, he just sends you to this Prima Gadim, where the Prima Gadim says you could rely on this. Now, there's a mystery, Al-Gabi mystery, I would never have found this on my own, but in the new Shulchan Aruch, the Machon Yushalayim edition, the new Shulchan Aruch, they have notes on the Prima Gadims and referring you to other places where Prima Gadim talks about the same subject. This Prima Gadim in Hilchos Shabbos, it sends you to, I think, four other places where the Prima Gadim talks about it, twice in Hilchos Chanukah, once in Hilchos Pesach, and once in his Sefer on Maseches Shabbos. And in all the other places, he mentions this Svara and rejects it. He says, he talks about the Shihoi Mitzvah by Ner Chanukah. He says, nah, you can't make a bracha just based on that. So what's the Prima Gadim's real opinion? In four places, he comes out that you can't make a bracha because of the Shihoi Mitzvah. In one place, he said that you could. So that's one mystery, like Minei Yubei, what's the real Shita of the Prima Gadim? But then there's something that's particularly striking about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he sends you dafka to the one Prima Gadim that says that you could make the bracha. It makes that diuk in Rabbi Akiva Eiger even more striking than before. It seems to have been a very premeditated address that he gave you. There were two Prima Gadims there in Hilchos Chanukah where he says not to make a bracha on the Shihu Mitzvah. But in Hilchos Shabbos, he says you could. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, go see that Prima Gadim. Sounds like he really holds that you could. But on the other hand, in the tshuva, he says that he's not willing to rely on that. But Sarachian, I don't know what to make of that. But all I can say is that the bottom line, the Mishnah Berurah says, we follow the tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the tshuva. And so only if there's still one candle to light and the other candles are still lit, then you can make the bracha. Otherwise, better luck tomorrow night. You can't make the bracha anymore.
If you forgot to say Shachian the first night, can you say the second night?
Great question. Yes, you could. Yeah.
Every night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You've got to make